Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise your name and give you all the glory. And everybody says,
amen.
Thank you, Lord, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we worship and praise your name this morning. We thank you for another opportunity in the house of the Lord. And as we enter the Word of God, we pray according to the Word of God, as it is written, the entrance of your Word gives light. Now let that light shine in our hearts this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bring in the understanding and bring in grace into our lives. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus this morning. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to let you know that the Lord is good. Amen. And I know that you already know that. So if you know that the Lord is good, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah with me.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, the time of the promise. Amen.
Amen?
That's what I'm going to speak on this morning. The time of the promise. And I'm going to start here in the book of Psalms 102. Psalms 102. And I'm going to read just two or three verses there, starting at verse 11. Psalm 102, verse 11. Of course, the text or the title for this message is taken from another verse that I will be reading in a minute. But I want to start here at Psalms 102 and verse 11. You know, sometimes some people might feel like this. You might feel like your days are like a shadow that declines. You might feel like you are withered like the grass. But I tell you something, you know, there's hope in the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance to all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Amen.
Amen.
Can you say amen to that? Now, so there is a time that is known to the Lord, you know, when he calls. Now, God is the one that calls time. You know, from the beginning, he said it in Genesis 1 and verse 13. He made great lights and so forth, and I put them there, and he, you know, one to rule the day, one to rule the night. And he said, let them be for signs, let them be for seasons, let them be for times and so forth like that. You know, so God calls the time, and there is a time that he has called to favor his people. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 7. This is really where the message is coming from this morning. In this story, story here in Acts chapter 7, now, of course, Stephen, you know, he's about to be stoned to death. So the Holy Ghost comes upon him, and he recounts a tremendous story here that he gives, and gives a wonderful sermon. And of course, he explained it all, but I don't want to read all of it. I'm just going to read one or two verses. He goes on by telling them what happened, you know, how God made promise to Abraham and so forth, you know, and then, you know, how Joseph, you know, was sold into Egypt, and, you know, how all of those things happened to him, you know, and finally how the word of the Lord came to pass, you know. So let's read verse 17 of Acts chapter 7. But when the time of the promise drew near, amen, there is a timing that God had in place. When the time of the promise drew near, well, you know, certain things began to happen. God began to put some things in place, you know. So that's what we want to talk about today. Now, I want you to know that a very, very long time, even before Joseph, God appeared to Abraham and he said, I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. Amen. You know, and Abraham said, what are you going to give me then? And the Lord gave him a promise and so forth. But the Lord also told him something. You know, you have to read all of this in Exodus chapter 15. Verse 1, the Lord said, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. And then Abraham challenged the Lord and said, well, you know, I don't even have anything yet. So what are you going to give me? So the Lord told him some things. And then, but the Lord also told him ahead of time. Listen to this. You know. And he said unto Abraham, verse 13 of Genesis 15, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Now, this is Abraham. He doesn't even have a child yet. But God is foretelling, you know, things that will happen even to his generations and to his seed way down in the future. That's the reason why God does these things. And I'm going to tell you, you know. And he said, look, this is going to happen to your seed. They are going to be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. And they are going to serve them. And after, you know, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. Genesis 15 and 13. Now, and then he said, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. You know, so the Lord said, this is going to happen. You know, even when Abraham didn't have a child. So the Lord began to tell him. And he said, look, this is what is going to happen to you. So God foretold clear in advance. You know, now this is the beginning of the story that Stephen told in Acts chapter 7. And he told a long story of how God gave this promise to Abraham, you know, and so forth like that. And it took, you know, many, many years, you know, before even Joseph was born, after God said this. And when they sold Joseph into Egypt, you may know the story and all that and so forth. Eventually, God gave him a favor and so on and fulfilled the promises and the dreams that God had showed Joseph earlier. You know, so I'm going to talk about that more in a minute, but I just want to lay this background. This was the beginning of this story, and God foretold this thing. You know, so at some point in time, when Joseph was sold into slavery, remember Joseph was the one that used to have the dreams. Everybody remember that? And he used to say how, you know, in his dreams he saw that, you know, basically the interpretation seemed like his brothers, you know, and everybody would bow down to him and he would be lord over them. That's basically what it seemed like. So they hated him for that and they planned to get rid of him, finally sold him to slavery and all that. You know the story. You know, so, and, you know, but I want you to note something. God foretold of all these things that would happen even when Abraham didn't even have a single child. Now remember, you know, Abraham, you know, gave birth to Isaac, and Isaac gave birth to Jacob, and Jacob finally gave back to Joseph, you know, gave birth to Joseph. And so there are many, many generations in between before it all even happened, you know, before they got to there. But God foretold that far in advance. So I want to let you know, that God knows everything that you are going through now. Amen. And even that which you have not yet gone through. You know, Abraham, you know, just think about it. He hadn't even had a child. God was saying that, look, this is what is going to happen to many generations down the line from you. But I will bring them out. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God already knows what you are going through today. And God already knows what you are going to go through a year from now, if the Lord should tarry or whatever, how long in the future. He already knows it. And he already has a plan. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, but let me bring something out and let's get deep into this message right now. When the time of promise begins to draw near, like Stephen was preaching in Acts 7 and 17, say, when the time of promise drew near, which God swore to Abraham and so forth, then the people began to multiply and all of these things happened and God blessed them and so forth. And, you know, God made it to where, you know, God prospered Joseph, you know, to a point where his dreams came true, and then all his family came into the land of Egypt. They gave them the land of Goshen and so on, you know, and they prospered and it was tremendous and so on. And then after a while, the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died, and then another Pharaoh came up that didn't know Joseph, and he changed the rules. And those people began to go into captivity and they began to torment them and so forth. Now notice, you know, notice that God had already predicted all of those things, but at some point in time, when their captivity started, they were going to be tormented for 400 years. You know, they were actually there for about 430. The first few years were good. You know, and afterwards they tormented them and so forth. But as the time of the promise, which God said, and I will bring them out of that nation, and then I will punish that nation. When that time of promise began to draw near, then God began to stir up some things. Amen. And it came to pass that when that time began to draw near, you know, there was a certain man called Moses that was born, you know, and so forth. And then the Pharaoh at that time said, destroy all of them and so forth. all the young people, all the young males, and so forth, because he didn't want the children of Israel to multiply. You know, but they kept Moses alive, you know, by a miracle and so forth. He ended up in Pharaoh's house, and you know the rest of the story and so forth. And then God began to put it in his mind. You know, God began to walk in Moses' mind, you know, because the time of promise was drawing near. Moses began to see the oppression of his people, and he didn't like it at all. You know, one time he decided to take the law into his hands, killed an Egyptian that was oppressing one of the Jews, and then finally when he found that thing was, you know, out and everybody knew, he had to, you know, run away from Egypt and so forth, and the Lord met him. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to take a step back and tell you something in the story of Joseph, because this thing is very important. Now, when God promises something, you know, God promised, look, those dreams were kind of like a promise that God showed him. He was going to be, you know, be over his brethren and so forth like that. You know, and they mocked him, they did everything about it and so forth. Well, you know, when he went down to Egypt, you know, in order for that promise to take place, God actually made his life, allowed his life to become more difficult. Hello, folks, are you still with me? You know, I mean, for that promise that God gave Joseph, that he was going to rule and all his brothers and so forth will bow down and everybody to him, for it to happen, he had to be sold into slavery.
Amen.
And not only did he get into slavery, you know, Potiphar's wife had to, you know, frame him for something he didn't commit. And they put him in the slammer. They threw him in there and so forth. And God just kept walking. God just kept walking. His life seemed to get harder all the time. In fact, one time he said, look, I'm here for no reason. You know, they sold me into reason, and I'm here for no reason. You know, why don't you remember me before Pharaoh and so forth when you go, when, after I interpreted the dreams to those guys? You know, so all of those, and it just seemed like things started getting harder and harder and harder. But each time, with each increasing difficulty, God was moving him closer to the promise. Amen. Amen, folks. In fact, he had to go to prison, you know, in order to meet, you know, the butler, you know, the butler of Pharaoh and his baker down there and so forth. He had to go to Egypt for that to happen. You know, he probably would never have met them. You know, he was doing okay in Pharaoh's house, but he probably would never have met, I mean, in Potiphar's house, we probably never would have come before Pharaoh if this didn't happen. But as God would have it, things worked that way. God started working things, and finally he had a chance to stand before Pharaoh because of the gift of interpretation of dreams. And when Pharaoh had a dream, then the other man finally remembered and said, oh my, you know, and they called him from prison and he interpreted the dream, and immediately Pharaoh said, well, there's nobody like you that has the spirit of the gods and all these things, wisdom, and he put him all over all the land. So you know the story. Now, even a woman, the Bible says, you know, when you know, when she's pregnant and so forth, she has sorrow, but as soon as the baby is born, you know, there is joy. Amen. Amen, amen, folks.
Amen.
Because there's a man child that's born into the world. Well, you know, when the time of promise is drawing near also for that woman that's pregnant, you know, God begins to increase her pain. You know, I mean, things begin to happen so that she becomes uncomfortable. It's called birth pains, you know. And because that promise of that baby is about to come forth, then things get even more difficult for that woman. Amen. And, you know, I mean, she barely can't go anymore. Those of you who have been there, you know what I'm talking about. And she just can't wait to get, you know, and pain every day in her bag and her stomach and this and everything and so forth like that. You know, and then things get, you know, and then finally, she has tremendous pain. And then she got to bring that baby forth. Amen. Praise God. You know, so it seems as if sometimes before the promise comes forth, there is a period of birth pains. There's a period of tremendous pain and stress and whatever and so on. But God is fixing to do something. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. So you begin to think about that, you know, as we go through the rest of this message. Now, I want you to also think of something. You know, God, when he gives a promise of something that is way ahead, he already knows. You know, so, you know, if God already showed you something, well, you know, God already knows it's going to come to pass. Now, the timing is in God's hands. Unless God reveals the time to you, he may not. Sometimes he doesn't tell you exactly the time. Sometimes he will. Sometimes he doesn't. He didn't tell Joseph exactly when those dreams will be, but he gave him the dreams nonetheless. You know, so sometimes he will and sometimes he won't. But you got to have faith in God. Amen. You know, so, and just keep your trust in the Lord. Because whether God tells the time or he doesn't, he already knows the time. Now, there is a time for everything. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 will tell you that there is a time for everything. And God knows the time. Amen? Are you still with me, folks? And God is the one that calls the time. Not only does he know the time, God calls the time. You know, so we have here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we are told in verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time to be born, see, and then there is a time to die, a time to plant and so forth, and it goes on and goes on. You know, God, there's a time for all these things, and God knows exactly the time. God has the time in hand, you know, and he knows when the time of promise is drawing near. Now, when the time of promise was drawing near, you know, in our feature story today, God appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. So let's read it. In Exodus chapter 3, as the promise was drawing near, now there were certain things that God allowed. God allowed, you know, all their hardships and so forth to come upon them and so forth, so that they had to cry more out to God. But listen to what God said in Exodus chapter 3. He says, let us read from verse 6. The Lord said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and so on. And then he told him, verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. So God knows whatever you are going through. Amen. Amen, amen, people. Amen. God knows it. And he said, now, because the time of promise is just around the corner, God said, now I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land to a good land, and all of that, so and so forth like that. So he told him, you know, but listen to the progression. Well, you know, first they were afflicted, but they didn't cry out unto the Lord necessarily, you know, and that maybe they went on for a long time. And then when they began to cry to the Lord, the Lord probably allowed their affliction to get worse, you know, and so forth like that. You know, now sometimes, let me put it to you this way. This is one of the punchlines in this message that I'm going to just tell you now. Sometimes in order for God to move you to the next level, he has to make the level that you are in now become uncomfortable. Yes. Amen? Yes. That's it. For him to move you from where you are, that's why it says, as the eagle stirreth her nest. You know, when the eagle has these little birds in the nest and so forth, and he's trying to get these birds to fly, the thing doesn't fly. The bird will not fly, the eaglet. You know, so, you know, and the eagle is a smart bird. You know, he will actually build, you know, the eagle mother, she'll build that nest with sharp thorns and so forth like that, try to make it uncomfortable for the eaglet to stay there, you know, and so on. So, you know, if she tries everything and that thing wouldn't fly, you know, and so forth, one day she'll rattle the nest and so forth, try to get this thing to go, you know. And if the thing doesn't go, you know, finally, you know, but then she's going to pick up that little eaglet and carry her up, high up, you know, and drop her suddenly, you know, and then create, a real tragic and panic situation. And that bird is quickly going to flap his wings. Amen. Amen, amen, sir. That's a true story in the life of those eagles. But first, it will stir its nest, try to make the nest uncomfortable, and stir at the nest and so forth, get you out of that, you know, comfortable situation and so forth. You know, and sometimes it's not even comfortable. It's just that, you know, people have accepted that situation. You know, some people are in a position so long that they now accept it, and they've forget to keep looking at the promise of God. You know, but you must keep your eyes on the promise. Amen. Amen. Keep your eyes. eyes on the promise. You know, so when people forget, people, they were in Egypt so long, you know, and they got used to being beat up. Their wives were ravished and the men were beat up on top of it, and they couldn't do nothing about it. And they went through that their whole life, you know, so they didn't even, you know, they didn't know, you know, they were so used to being in bondage that even when God set them free, they were still thinking of going back. Isn't that pitiful, people? You know, because they, and you know, when God set them free, they didn't even know how to defend themselves. You know, because in Egypt, they couldn't lift a finger. You know, their taskmasters would ravish their women right in their presence, and they'll beat them up, and they do everything, and they could do nothing about it. And they were always oppressed. So finally, Moses had to tell them, well, that was then, folks. Now, it's an eye for an eye. Amen. If somebody pluck your eye out, you better pluck his eye out. You better know how to fight for yourself. Because those people, you ever wonder why he told them those things? Because they never knew how to fight for themselves. You know, back in Egypt, they didn't fight for themselves at all. They got beat up and they got everything and they kept their mouth shut. They were slaves. So finally he said, look, somebody cut off your arm, you cut off theirs also. He had to teach them against the Amorites and all these people and so on. You know, it's how you do it. You know, so, you know. But notice that their situation became terrible and even more terrible. You know, then they began to cry out to God, you know, and so forth. And then God said, yes, it is time. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now the song we sang, when I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah. And I told you there's something else that you are going to have to do when you remember his promises. And that is the second phase of my message right now. And I'm going to go to that and tell you that there is something else, you know, that you must do when you remember his promises. Amen. I'm going to tell you what that something else is in a minute. But I want you to think of that for just a minute. Is there something besides just shouting hallelujah when I remember his promise? Well, I'm going to give you two stories here in the Bible real quick. Now, the first of these stories is, of course, you know, in the story of Elijah. And I'm going to tell you that. And then the second one is the story of Daniel. But I want to read the Daniel story first. And then I want to read the Elijah story next. So turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And let's see what the Bible says about this message that we are trying to bring forth and how we can get an understanding of these things. In Daniel chapter 9, this story is in verses 1 through 21 of Daniel chapter 9. But I'm not going to read all of that, you know, for time. I'm just going to highlight some of the things. Now, verse 1 of Daniel 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. You know, so Daniel, he read the prophecies of Jeremiah. And he had read all these things, so he understood that, you know, these things, this captivity that we're in now will be for 70 years. And by this time, the 70 years were drawing near. So by the time, you know, and he knew what God said that he would do after the 70 years. You know, he already told them that, you know, Nebuchadnezzar will carry them forth and so forth into the land of Babylon for those years. And God will afterwards, you know, do something for them. You know, so, you know, when the time of that promise drew near for the end of the affliction, Daniel began to bestir himself. Amen? Amen. Amen, folks. And this is the pattern with God. When God says it is time, then he puts it in your heart to pray. Now, everything starts with God. Nobody can do anything without God. Amen? Amen? You know, it's the same thing with revival. When God calls that it is time for revival, then he begins to put it in the hearts of some people that we get a hold of the Lord and seek the Lord. It's not because I sought the Lord, then God did something. No, God said it is time. And then he put it in your heart. Because to will is from the Lord. And to do is from the Lord. Hallelujah. Both to will and to do is from the Lord. You know, so when God begins to put it, so God put it in the mind of Daniel. And verse 3 says, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and by supplication and by fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, he was already in captivity. He wasn't praying that, you know, God should prevent the captivity. Now, they were already in captivity, but he knew by the word of the Lord that this thing would last so long. And they had already been, imagine maybe it was 69 years or whatever, and the thing was coming through and say, wow, you know, I see that we were supposed to be here for 70 years, you know, but I don't see deliverance. I don't see anything inside. So he began to get a hold of the Lord. And he turned and said, God, and he confessed his sins and the sins of the people and everything like that. He began to move, you know, in prayer and put sackcloth upon his head. He said, oh Lord, righteousness belong unto thee and confession of faces belong unto us because we are forsaking thy laws and all of these things. And began to get a hold of the Lord. And as he began to pray because he saw that the time of promise was drawing near. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Now that's the other thing that you must do. When God shows you that the time of promise is drawing near, is you must begin to pray. Amen. You can't, shouting hallelujah is wonderful, but you are going to have to wrestle God for that promise. Hallelujah. You're going to have to pray that promise through. Because I tell you something too, you know, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, you know, when that baby was about to be born, that dragon was standing right there ready to devour that child. You know, so, you know, the devil, he knows the promises of God just like you do. And if he has a thing to say about it, he's going to make sure that you don't get it. But, you know, if you get a hold of this message this morning, you get a hold of the power of God, then the devil is going to know that he has been defeated. Amen. And he's going to know that you've run him off, because you will run him off by the power of the Lord. You stay in your ground, you pray through, and you will get the promise. Amen. Now, so Daniel, he prayed through. You know, and as he began to pray, you know, immediately, you know, God, listen to this, verse 21. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord and so forth like that. Whilst I was in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen at the beginning, being called swiftly to fly, he touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Amen. Now, if you're looking for another touch from God, you know, if you say, touch me one more time, Lord, you know, one more time, Lord, bring that power of God into my life. Well, you know, it's not going to come by just shouting the praise. Shouting the praise is wonderful too, you know, but sometimes you have to get in under prayer. Amen. And when you get in the prayer of God, you know, like that, and you begin to call upon the name of the Lord, you begin to humble your soul, afflict your soul with fasting and so forth, pretty soon. The Bible says, while I was in prayer, then the hand of the Lord touched me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And anybody can have revival at any time. You don't need to wait for, you know, global revival. People are always looking for global things. Well, global, yes. You know, when it's time for God. But personal revival anytime. Amen. Amen, folks. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Hallelujah. You know, confess their sins. Turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, and pray. Then I will hear from heaven. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. So the Lord, you know, he wants us to do these things. He wants us, you know, first you must know the promise. If you don't know the promise, you won't even know that the time of the promise is drawing near. You know, so we sang, when I remember his promises. Do you really remember his promises? Do you really know the promises of God? Now, there are global promises that God has made concerning his eternal purpose. For instance, you know, this same Jesus, whom you see taken up from you, shall so likewise come again. Amen. Amen, folks. Now, that's a wonderful promise. And to those that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto their redemption. Amen. You know, so everyone that loves his appearing, you know, that's a promise. So you better begin to pray. You know, because the Bible says, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass and to be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now, you're going to be hearing of some of these things later on that will be coming to pass to let you know that it is at the very door, so you must pray. You know, but when you begin to see the time of promise drawing near, you must begin to pray. Amen. Amen, folks. You must begin to pray. Now, let me share this other story with you. The story of Elijah. I love this one. So I reserve this one to the last. The story of Elijah. In the book of Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, Some of you may know the story. This is where Elijah went up against the prophets of Baal. Fire on Carmel. He brought down the fire and all that story. So you may know that. Now, but let's look at something very critical here, which I've preached before in the church here, on a different message. But I'm going to start here in 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read verse 1. Then I'm going to skip to verse 41. Now, 1 Kings chapter 18. Let me read verse 1. Now, the background to this story was Elijah had called for a famine in the land. And he said, he came before Ahab and so forth and said, there shall be no rain except by my word. And he went up, like that. And God took him to the brook and so forth. You've heard the story about the brook as well. So, finally, the Bible says, after a period of time, the brook dried up. Now, God was fixing to take Elijah to another level. So, God allowed the brook to dry up. Amen? Amen, folks? God may allow your brook to dry up. Not because he cannot keep the brook from flowing, but because he's about to take you to another level. Hallelujah. But God was ready to take Elijah to another level, and as long as he stayed in that brook, he wouldn't get to that other level. So God would have to allow that brook to be dried up, and the experience that he finally had, the experience that he would have before the Lord and so forth, where he would finally hear God's small, still voice. He had to get away from that brook, and he had to go through some other things and so forth, and God would finally meet with him, over there, but listen to this in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, there had been no rain for 3 years, and so forth like that. And perhaps a little even more than 3 years, there had been no rain. But God gave him a promise here, point blank. I will send rain now. The time is near. So go show yourself to Elijah. So, of course, Elijah went and did all those things and so forth. And listen, I'm just going to skip all that and jump to verse 41. You can read the rest of the chapter yourself, but I don't have time to read all of it. So I'm just going to jump to 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab. Now, of course, if you read that story, you will see what Elijah did and how, he finally, they destroyed all those, false prophets of Baal and all of that and so on. So, and this was the chapter where he called down the fire and all these things and so on, and after that was all done, here's what Elijah said in verse 40. Let me start for 40. Elijah said to them, take all the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape, and take them. He brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. So he got rid of all those false prophets that couldn't call down fire. But Elijah, his God, answered by fire. Amen. So, man, Elijah, he said unto Ahab, now get thee up and drink. Eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. And I've preached on this topic before, the sound of abundance of rain. You can find it on the website. So Elijah, because he remembered what God said. Now, Elijah remembered that God said in verse 1 that I will send rain. Amen? But let's see the difference between Elijah and Ahab. Elijah came here. He remembered what God said. And he told Ahab, well, you go up and drink and eat and so forth, because God said he's going to send rain. So Elijah said, you go do that. But listen to what Elijah did. Elijah did not go up and eat and drink. Elijah did not just go up and began to, shout and so forth. Listen to what he did. And Elijah, Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And the man went and said, there is nothing. And Elijah went again, and he began to get in under prayer. And he began to pray. The Bible calls it in one place, the fervent, effectual prayer of Elijah, in James, were availing much. He began to pray fervently. He began to seek the Lord. The Lord already said I was going to bring rain. And in fact, he already told Ahab, you go and eat and drink, because there is rain coming. But Elijah didn't begin to eat and drink. He actually did the exact opposite. He began to go into prayer. He put his head down on the ground and he began to call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, remember that you said you are going to bring the rain. Now let the rain come. Hallelujah. You think Elijah was just there saying, Lord, I know you're going to bring the rain and so forth and just like that. No, he prayed that rain. Because I tell you, the forces of darkness, they didn't want that rain. You know, they didn't want the word of the Lord to come like God gave to Elijah. The devil will try to prevent the word of the Lord. But the word of the Lord is not bound. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So he put his face down and seven times he sent his servant, go look. And every time he looked, he said, well, I don't see anything. So finally, it came to pass, verse 44. At the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud. Hallelujah. I see a little cloud, like a, you know, out of the sea, like a man's hand. And Elijah said, well, that's it now. You know, said, so you go up, you prepare your chariot. Because, you know, my goodness, this rain is coming in abundance. Hallelujah. And then when God promised something, you know, sometimes people think that just because God promised something, that means you're just going to get it. No. Sometimes you're going to have to contend for the promises of God. Amen. Amen, folks. You're going to have to contend in prayer. And not only that, you know, just because God promised rain, it doesn't mean that it's going to come all at once with a deluge. At first, it might come like a little cloud, like a little man's, you know, just a small, you know, just like this, you know, the size of a man's hand, you know, so forth. But Elijah, by the eye of faith, he saw it coming. Amen. He saw it coming. Now, sometimes God may promise you something, but he might start out with something small. That's why the Bible says, as it is written, who has despised the day of small things? This be the eyes of the Lord. God may promise you something, you know, and sometimes you want the heavens to open up and then everything be blasting and, you know, thunder. Well, you can, God can do that too if he wants to. But sometimes he can start out with something small. Amen?
Amen.
Because he that is faithful in little shall also be faithful in much. Can you say praise the Lord?
Amen.
So God may start out and God gave Elijah this man's little cloud. He just gave him that little cloud. And Elijah hid God in under the Lord and he said, my lands, you know, I see the promise now. I see the cloud. And he began to pray until, my, there was a deluge of rain. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So that's the other thing that you must do when the promise of God is revealed to you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there are some things that God has promised you in your life. Personal life. And there are also some things that God has promised for the church. Amen.
Amen.
You know, one time, Peter stood up and said, well, this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit among all flesh. Well, Peter said that was the last days. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. So what days are we in then, if that was to the last days? Well, that means we are in the last moments. Amen?
Amen,
amen, folks? So if Peter could quote it then, we can quote it now. And not only that, you know, the word of prophecy that we have. Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Listen to this. This prophecy was given in the 17th century by a lady called Jane Lyard. And some of you who know Brother Frisby's writings, he wrote this on scroll 51. But it wasn't his prophecy. There shall be a total and full redemption by Christ. This is a hidden mystery, not to be understood without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is at hand to reveal the same unto all holy seekers and loving inquirers. Amen.
Amen.
Well, folks, let me tell you that this full redemption is happening already. Amen. Perhaps not globally, but it's happening. Listen to this. He said, the Spirit of God is at hand, and this redemption shall come to be revealed both particularly and universally. So it is already happening particularly. People are already getting into the fullness of the revelation of Christ. But that's happening particularly. Now, the universal promise that church must get under God in prayer in order for the universal promise to happen. Amen?
Amen.
God, Jesus himself told his disciples, said, look, the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me, you know, and so forth, tarry ye in Jerusalem and so forth. He kept telling them about it and so forth. Well, Jesus already said, you know, when I'm gone, I will send you another comforter. He already said that, you know. So, but what, after he left, he told them, look, that promise which I told you about, there's a waiting period. That's a time for you to wait. Now, there was, of course, prophetically, God had designed that that thing must happen on the day of Pentecost. There's a reason, there's a full reason for that. Can't go into that already, you know, today. But, you know, those people had to wait in prayer. Not only wait in prayer, they also had to wait in unity. The Bible says that they were all in one accord. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so they had to wait in unity. And they had to be praying. And they had to be believing God for the promise, which was already promised, which Jesus spoke by himself. You know? Amen? Now, of course, I tell you, all those people, 120 people that were waiting that day, they did not know, unless God revealed it to some of them. But we don't know that they knew that it, the promise was going to come on the day of Pentecost. All they knew was, just tarry ye until you be endued. But God knew the time. God knew a set time. God already knew exactly the time. But when the time of promise drew near, those people began to get united and began to pray. Amen. And they sat there, they held on to God for 10 days and straight. They were there and so forth. They just began to pray. And even, we don't know exactly how long. They were there, and then all of a sudden, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the heavens opened. Hallelujah. And cloven tongues as of fire. Now, you know, it has been a long time since people saw this kind of experience. You know, where you are gathering, you are sitting down like this, and visibly, I'm not talking of, you don't need camera. Visibly, hallelujah, cloven tongues of fire begin to come down and sit upon each one of their heads. Hallelujah. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. But first, it took for them to be in one accord, and it also took for them to get under God in prayer. Now, when they saw that the time of promise was drawing near, what did they do? They banded together. Hallelujah. This same prophecy, it's a long prophecy. If you want to know more about it, you can contact me, I'll let you know. But this same prophecy says, wherefore, at the end, he said, all bands of believers everywhere that are waiting for this visible breaking forth should hold together in the spirit of unity. Hallelujah. And in truth. Because that's how God is going to bring it. So when we begin to see the time of promise drawing near, well, you better do some things. Amen. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. When the time of promise is drawing near, not only the global promise, but also personal promise for your life. And I wanted to read this verse that I'm going to read now while you are standing. I left this verse till the end, so I can read it while you're standing. And I have read this many times here in the church when we preach on this type of subject. Now listen to this. In the book of Ezekiel, turn with me if you have your Bibles, or you can put it up on the screen, and I'm going to read this to you here. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verse 25. For I am the Lord, he said, and I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It shall no more be prolonged. The word shall no more be prolonged. Amen.
Amen.
But, you know, God had to chastise them. He said, for in your days, O rebellious house. Well, we don't want to be called rebellious. Do you? In your days, O rebellious house, he told them, will I say the word, and will I also perform it, saith the Lord. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, saying, now this is Ezekiel chapter 12, I'm now reading verse 27. Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that is here is for many days to come. You know, people are saying that, well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, even this global revival that we are talking about and so forth, which the Bible says, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know, people are saying, oh, you know, it's, you know, for a long time to come and so forth. People are always thinking about what God has done in the past and what God's going to do in the future. But what about what God can do right now? Amen.
Amen.
But I tell you something, folks, the time of promise is drawing near. And this is a message to you personally. The time for God to favor Zion is here. Amen.
Amen.
And when you begin to see that that time is drawing near in your life personally, here's what you must do. You must begin to get in under prayer. Don't say like these people that, oh, the time is afar off, the times are far off, and so forth. Listen to what he said in verse 28. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken shall be done swiftly. And I put it there by the Spirit of God. Shall be done swiftly. Because the Bible says, though it tarry, wait for it. For it will not tarry long. Amen. Amen. So the word of the Lord and his promises will no longer tarry. But the time is now that God will begin to do it swiftly. So, hear ye the word of the Lord, saints. The time to favor Zion is now. Amen, folks. And if you believe that you are the Zion of God, the Bible says we are not come unto a mount that cannot be touched and so forth like that, but we are come to heavenly Mount Zion. If you believe that you are the people of God, shout hallelujah for that promise. Amen. Now, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, that the word of the Lord shall be fulfilled in your days. You can get a hold of the Lord anytime for your days. The word that was meant for the end of the days, Peter got a hold of it for his own day. He said, this is what Joel was promised. But 2,000 years passed since then. So that could not have been the end of days. Because we are closer to the end of days than Peter was. So actually, he hijacked that promise that was afar off, and he hijacked it and claimed it for his day. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
By faith, you can grab a hold of any of the promises of God and begin to walk them in your life today.
Amen.
Because faith is now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So folks, the time of the promise is near. And when the time of the promise is near, God will begin to orchestrate some things just to make sure that it happens. Amen.
Amen.
The first thing he does is God begins to bring an uneasiness in your life. God may even create a situation where things are harder for you. Things are harder for you. Things are harder for you. Things get harder. Because God wants you to begin to reach out to God. He wants you to begin to cry out to God. God will begin to make life difficult around you sometimes. Because you need to get a hold of God. That's how God prompts people. Because some people cannot hear the voice of God directly. Because their ears are so dull. You know. So God has to, you know, put things and put hedge around them. Buffet them this way. Allow things to happen to them this way. Finally, you know, their soul begin to cry out to God. And when they begin to cry out to God and say, no more. Amen. No more. I cannot go on like this. I must have more of God. I cannot live without you, oh God. Come upon me. They begin to cry upon God and say, Lord, I must have you or I die. That's when real revival comes. When people get to a state, you know, not when you cry for useless things in the world, you know, but when you begin to cry for his glory. When you begin to cry for his deliverance, then God is right there. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you understand that the time of promise is drawing near for your life, I want to see your hand up. You know, whatever it is that you are believing God for, when God has promised it, if you say, I know the time of promise is drawing near, let me see your hand up. Well, I'll be the first to put my hand up. You know, one of the things also that God promised us for this church, hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, in the last days, and even in this church, he said, you know, I will raise up the tabernacles of David, the ruins that are laid waste, and I will build it again as an old time. And in that place, said the Lord, will I give peace, and I will be glorified. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Amen. You know, so I believe that with all my heart. And I know that the time of promise is drawing near. So I want to engage some folks to begin to pray. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks.
Amen.
Now I'm looking for some people that will pray. I'm looking for some people that say, I understand, you know, by all of these things, you may also understand by the books, by reading the word of God, that the time of promise is near. And if you understand that it is time for God to favor Zion, let me see your hand up one more time. If you understand that it is time for God to bring the promised revival, hallelujah. If you understand that it is time for God to give you a breakthrough in your life, All the things that you are struggling with, God already foreknew, like he foreknew the problems that will come down the line for Abraham's seed. And if you know that, now I want to challenge you to pray. And if you are an understanding person here this morning, and you are ready to take that challenge, I want to see you step forward right here. Take the challenge. Step forward. Hallelujah. Step forward and say, I know and I understand that the time of the promise is drawing near. And I am ready to step into God and step onto a higher level. Therefore, Lord, give me the grace that I may pray. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. There is nothing that God does without prayer first from folks. Even Jesus, he got in under prayer. He started to pray until blood was coming out of his forehead like sweat. That's how God does it, folks. That's how. And one time he said, pray with me. And those guys didn't pray. And you saw what happened to them. They denied the Lord up left, right, and center. You know, we must pray, folks. We must pray. Now, I heard a song this morning that said, I hear the sound of an army arising. And I said, Lord, that's going to go right with this message. Amen. Praise God. Now, God is recruiting every one of you that is standing here today for that army. Amen.
Amen.
If you are standing here, God is recruiting you for that army.
Amen.
And I want the praise team to come on up again. I know some of you in the praise team are standing in the army as well. But come on up and sing me that song again. I hear the sound of an army arising. And this is the army that is going to go forth. This is that Joel's army. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Forget Peter's day. It is today. Amen.
Amen.
This is that Joel's army. The Bible says nothing can stop them and they will not break their ranks. They can climb in through the windows. They can do all kinds of things, you know, and so forth. They are a formidable group because they know how to bring down the power of God. Amen.
Amen.
And they know how to pray. Hallelujah. I hear the sound of an army arising. Now, those of you who are here, you are soldiers now. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I am going to deputize all of you that are standing here. You say deputize? That's right. Hold the music for just a minute. Before the sheriff, when he has his deputy and so forth, he gives them this little badge and so forth like that, you know, and they say, well, you know, you just put up your right hand and you say something and say, therefore I make you a deputy and so forth. Well, we are going to deputize you in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But Jesus already did that for you years ago. He said, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you.
Yeah.
And I have ordained you. Jesus already did this that I'm about to do. I'm just making it, I'm just enacting it. Because sometimes some people, they only learn by visual things, you know. Some people can read some things, they don't understand it. Jesus already did it. So I'm just going to repeat it. But you know that Jesus already did it. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. So I want you to lift up your hands. Just before we sing that song that they are going to sing. And I want you to say, Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Come on, say, Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
I say, here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Send me.
Send me.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Use me.
Use me.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Let me be thine.
Whichever way you want.
Whatever you want to do. I am yours.
Amen.
Amen. If you believe that, you can say amen.
Amen.
Now, as they sing this song, and as you sing with us this song, you are hereby deputized into this army. Not just as lay people in the army, but as sheriffs. Amen.
Amen.
You are now enforcers. You must go and enforce in the heavens. But the Bible says, canst thou bind the influences of the Pleiades? Canst thou, you know, command the morning since thy days? Have thou commanded that? Yes, this is now the time for you to do that. Can thou lift thy voice up to the heavens and begin to bring down the power of God? Yes! Amen? Because Jesus already gave us the power to do that. I hear the sound of our army arising. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this word. Let this word be mixed with faith in our hearts. That we will execute.
Yes.
The Bible says he is strong that executed his word. Are you strong to execute the word of the Lord? He is strong that executed his word. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do explore. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody shout hallelujah. Say it again. Amen.